Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. And I would like to ask you to stand when you get to the scripture, please, as I read. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. And God, this morning, I pray that every single one of us will take up our crosses, deny ourselves, and that we will follow you, Father God, no matter the cost. Because God, following Jesus, it's worth everything because we have nothing to lose. We have everything to gain. And Lord, as I preach the message today, I ask, Lord, that God, you will speak to us from heaven through your Holy Spirit. Let nothing come from my own words or from my flesh. And we give you the praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you think about the cross, I wonder how deeply do we really delve into what the cross means. Does anybody ever take the time to think about the cruelty of the cross or what it stood for? The cross was basically a symbol of disgrace. It was the worst possible way that any person could die. It caused the most pain and suffering and was the most severe torture that anybody could face. And let me just kind of reflect on that for a moment. If you think about Jesus when he was on the cross, they nailed Jesus through, they say through the hand, but that's incorrect because if they would have nailed through his hand, it would have tore right through. But they went right into his wrist, right into a strong point to where the nail could not rip through from the weight of him being up there. And then they drove another spike through both of his feet into the cross. And as Jesus hung on that cross for so many hours, if Jesus wanted to take a breath or get air, Jesus had to push with his feet and lift up on those arms to get the get the strength drawn up in his body to physically push himself up and take whatever breath he could take. And in the midst of that pushing up, Jesus suffered the most excruciating pain that you and I will never fathom. Our minds cannot comprehend. And on top of that, the blood loss, the blood that flowed from his body because he had been beaten beyond recognition. So when you think about it, the Son of God, who had the highest place in heaven, who had it all, left the heavenly kingdom and hung on a cross of disgrace, because he loved you and I so deeply, he didn't want us to go to hell. And he was willing to do whatever it was to make sure that you and I had our penalty of sin paid for. And what that price was? Death on the cross. The most shameful, disgraceful death that any man could ever face. Jesus said, "Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done." And you know the rest of the story. But in following Jesus, I mean, when I was thinking about the message for today, this was so strong on me because of the song we sang, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." I was singing that song at home the last few days, and I really started thinking about the words of the song. Am I following Jesus? Am I at the place where He wants me to be. So it got me to thinking a lot deeper, and it's caused me to pray more and basically have told the Lord, God, I want to be in the position that You want me to be in. Now, God's given me a free will. God has given me the ability to think and do what I want, what I please, but that's not how I want to live. What He did for me on the cross has moved me to a place in my life that I want to follow Him and His will, because I know if I follow His will, my life is going to be sweeter. My life is going to have more meaning and fulfillment to it. So, the first thing I want to talk about today is whosoever will. Whosoever will take up their cross and follow Jesus. That includes me. That includes you. That includes any of your neighbors that are Christians, any of your friends or family. It does not exclude anybody. Whoever will. So whoever will is mean whoever is willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, Father, here am I, send me to do Your work. Now, if you go back and think about Peter, when Peter was in the boat, Peter, what did he want to do when he saw Jesus walking on the water? Peter said, Lord, if that is You, then bid me to come to You on the water. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, come. So what did Peter do? He stood up in the boat. He stepped over the side without thinking one thought about what he was about to do. He never thought this in the human realm of mind. He went out in faith and he stepped out on the water and he started to walk on the water toward Jesus until what? He looked at the storm that was brewing around him and the winds that were blowing, and the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, Peter began to sink and he cried out to the Lord. Okay, now I'm going to stop right there because I would be going into another total different sermon from here. So I'm not going to chase that rabbit around the tree today. But what we need to do as God's people, we need to be like Peter. And we need to get our eyes on Jesus. See, Jesus has His hand out. And Jesus is saying, I want you to come to Me. But so many people have gotten comfortable in the boat that they remain seated. They see the storm. They see the life ahead. They know what God may call them to do, and they get afraid, and they stay in the boat. There's some people, though, who, like Peter, they get up out of the boat, and they step over the side, and they keep their eyes on the Lord, and they follow Him no matter the cost. Now, yesterday, I had this itinerary for the men's breakfast. I come up with this whole thing. And then as I was driving to Carbondale, I just said, you know what, Lord? I want this breakfast to go how You want it to go. You know, seminary teaches you how to do things, but I'm not a seminary-led man. I'm a God-led man. And that's how I want the ministry that I'm doing on this earth to be. I want it to be all God. And so when I got to the breakfast, you know what? Lord, You just let Your will go and let us have good fellowship. And that's exactly what we had yesterday. And when I left, first thing I did, well, we have the hands-free calling on the car. And I called Janine right away. And I said, honey, I'm telling you, we had the best time. And I said, my heart's full. My heart is full. Because as a preacher and a brother in Christ, I was enjoying the time with my brothers in Christ, just getting to talk and know more about one another and fellowship and focusing on God. And we felt God's presence there. And as we left the restaurant yesterday morning and we're walking out, there were people who were looking at us as we walked. And when they looked at us, I looked at them and gave them a big smile. And I said, "Good morning, how are you today?" Because God's will is that I follow His will and that I minister to those that I'm around. And you know what? Somebody that I spoke to yesterday might have been going through something pretty dark and deep, and just showing the love to them and speaking to them could have made their day, could have made their entire Saturday turn around and go so much better. And when I got home, I told my wife, I said, "Well, I'm going to get ready and go down to Paducah. Have you decided you want to go?" And she said, "Yeah, I want to go with you." I said, "Oh, good," you know, because I love being with my wife. Man, she's my best friend. And that's one thing I want to reflect on, that just for a second, talking about God's will, following His will. When I prayed for a wife, I said, "Lord, You give me who You want me to have. You bring her to me." And I know that when You do, she'll enrich my life. So see, I surrendered some different areas. Now, there's some areas in my life I will say I'm not perfect, and I'm not. There's some areas in my life that I need to surrender and say, "Lord, have it. I don't want control of it. I don't want my hands on it in any way, shape, or form. But I'm willing at all costs to give it to You and follow wherever You'd have me to go." Which brings me to my second point, denying ourselves. Titus 1:6 says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So in our life as a Christian, you know what we have to do first every day? We have to put God first. Deny yourself. See, you and I are God's children, but we're not the ones that are important. And I'm not saying that in a demeaning way. I'm not. What I mean by that is God is our first love. We have to, in denying ourselves, we are forgetting about everything in our life. We're forgetting about the worries and whatever's raging on around us. And we're putting God first, and we are centering ourselves in God's very presence. And we're saying, "Lord, whatever it is You want me to do today, I will do it." We have to deny ourselves in that fact. We have to also give God first place in our marriage, our homes, our relationships, in our churches, and even in our own desires. We've got to put God first in everything. See, when you focus on God and when you realize just how wonderful He is, nothing else matters. You know, I told you a while back that my big thing was, man, when I got done with seminary and all that, I really didn't get to finish all of it, but I got through a lot of it. But I got into church, and I told the Lord when I first started preaching, though, I said, "God, here's what I want. I want You to give me a big church. I want the people to already be in their seats. I want that church to be abundantly, and I mean, and that's exactly what I sought." And you know what God did? I asked God to put me in a church like that, and then first thing ever come up, there was a church down south, Crab Orchard, Illinois, and it's called Fairview Baptist Church, and They called me and asked me if I'd come preach for them. I said, sure, I will. I got down there, they had 10 people. And they didn't have, the baptistry was filled with boxes and ladders. And they had, a brand new building that was built in 1994. This was 1996 when I stepped in there. And all of a sudden, God said to me, I just want you to let me work here and stay out of my way. Okay, Lord. So I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, I kind of lied. Or I doubled back on what I said, which is a lie. But anyway, they called me to be their pastor at that church. And when I told them, I said, no, I don't really feel like this is where God wants me. But I said, I'll stay and preach a while. Now, okay. Well, God started really dealing with me then. And inside of me, I'm going, but Lord, this ain't what I wanted. And God said, this is where I want you to be. Well, finally, I was getting miserable. And I said, okay, Lord, fine. If you want me to be pastor there, I'll be the pastor there. And I learned from that moment on that I had more fellowship. I had more of a good time in the smaller churches. I did get into a big church some years down the road as a full-time pastor. And when I got into that church, I had some of the most wonderful people in that church. I certainly did. I loved everybody in that church. I had some people that make you want to beat your head against a wall. And that's just a part of human. That's a part of being human. Everybody's got their own will and everybody's got their own way. And then there are some people just make you shake your head. But anyway, I said, Lord, I'm in this church. You move. And I'll tell you how I got there. I was driving by that church, going to another one to fill in for them on a Sunday. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go there tonight. I want you to go in there tonight. And it was clear as a bell. So I went to that church at night. And I went in there, sat on the back row. The interim pastor came down, asked me who I was, told him, Jim Cooper. He said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He goes, how'd you like to preach tonight? I'd love to. I got a sermon ready right now. Got up there and preached. One thing, and God put me in there. And I want you to know that each day that went by, I gave God first place in that church. And I was at that church quite a long time. And then when the time came that the Lord moved me on from there, there was a lot of tears. But you know what? There were some good relationships built. And you know what I learned the most out of some of those stubborn folk I was talking about? I learned to get myself out of the way and I learned to love them more. I had to deny myself and put my identity in Jesus. And I had to start looking at other people through the eyes of the Lord, and I had to start seeing people how He saw them. Do you know how God sees us? God sees us redeemed. God sees us purified by the blood of the Lamb. God sees us as the possibility. God sees us as His wonderful children. He sees us through these eyes of love and compassion that I cannot wrap my mind around that kind of love. But the moment that I started to look at others through that same love, it took some time, but I started to look at the heart instead of the outward person, and what I saw on the inside was so beautiful. I don't look on the outside of people and I don't judge nobody. I don't want to do that. But I don't judge people by their outward appearance or where they come from or anything. I look at someone's heart. And what I choose to look at the good person, because that's what God wants us to do. So when we deny ourselves, then we're allowing God to move in us in a mighty way. What did the disciples do? Jesus told the disciples, you know, if you want to follow me, then you give up everything and you come and follow me. And that's exactly what those disciples did. Now there was one rich man who wanted to follow Jesus, and this guy had everything. And he says, well, Lord, what do I need to do to follow you? Jesus said, go and sell all your goods and come and follow me. And you remember what happened to the guy? He was troubled. And very sorrowful, he walked away. Now, I want you to know, if you live for the things of this world, you're going nowhere fast. If you're living for money, cars, houses, fame and fortune or whatever, or recognition, you're going nowhere very fast. Because there's one name above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. And as a Christian person, we are to lift up that name and honor Him and live for Him. And we are to do His will. Some people even say, well, but what's in it for me? If I follow the Lord, what's in it for me? What am I going to... Well, it don't matter what's in it for you. What matters is His will. His will be done on earth. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So what that means is if we follow Him, He's going to supply every need. He's going to lead you. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have an easy life and you're going to have a pathway of roses. None of us are. I've been through some sidewalks of thorns and thistles lately. But am I going to let it stop me? No. It's temporary. I'm going to keep walking the path because you know who's there with me? The Lord is holding my hand. And holding His hand makes the journey so much sweeter. Lastly, bearing your cross. Your cross comes in many different weights and styles. Now Luke 14:27 says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, that means if you don't give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him as Lord and Savior, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And that's exactly what that means. Like I said, we're not released from suffering, sickness, or tension, or stresses, or anything like that. But you know who's in the midst of those valleys? There's a lily in the valley, the bright and morning star, and His name is Jesus. I sing. I like to sing that song. There's something about that name, and I loved when I'm in the midst of a storm. I have to disengage myself from life and just hook on to the Lord and start singing that song. And when I sing it, I can't. If I start focusing on what's going on, then I can't focus on the song. Or I can't focus on God. But when I focus on the Lord and just sing that, and I think about His marvelous grace and His love for me, everything else that's going on around me just goes away. And it's just me and the Lord, and I've had some sweet times with Him. But you know what? There's going to be a day come that we get to lay down the cross. And for the believer, for the one who has received Christ as Lord and Savior, the day will come. Now, either we go up in the rapture. When that happens, you'll go up in the rapture. But if it comes time that we lay down and close our eyes in death, there is certain victory when we take the last breath here and we take the first steps into heaven. We get to lay that cross down. So, friends, I want to tell you this morning that there's no other way to live. I want to encourage you this morning, take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you haven't received Him as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that this morning because you can't make it to heaven without Him. You could go to church, you can read your Bible, pray, do all the things, but if you don't receive Him and believe on Him, then you'll be in the smoking section, not the non-smoking, as I like to say. Kind of like going to a restaurant. What, you want the smoking or non? I want the non-smoking section, please. I don't like all that smell. But when you lay that cross down at Jesus' feet when you're in heaven, you'll lay down that cross and you'll be rewarded for the life that you lived for Him. Remember, this life is not about us. This life is about Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Him today.